Regal Realty Group live today at the Duncan in Old Hickory, 511 Hadley Village Boulevard. Come by and say hello. We got some prizes you can win. Our man Sean is out front at our table. Junie's here rocking out to some Boston. That's very appropriate, playing Boston for Duncan.
It is.
That's nice. Good. Chasing Big Joe. Let's say hello now to the great John McClain, who joins us from Houston, as he does every Wednesday at 9:30. John, of course, you can find his work at sportsradio610.com. John, how are you?
Guys, I'm great. What a difference a week makes. Last week when I was on with Joe, everybody was mad at Vrabel for going to New England. Tim Kelly's a bum. Vrabel's snapping at people in news conferences. And now happy days are here again. Vrabel's a good coach. Tim Kelly actually knows what he's doing. And nobody gives a damn if Vrabel went to New England.
Yep, you were right about that. Everybody's everybody's talking about Will Levis. I got to tell you, John, you know, it was cool being there on Sunday. A lot of people that you covered in your career were at Nissan Stadium as it was homecoming, with a lot of the Oilers and the Titans being there, playing in the Oilers uniforms. But there was a different energy in that stadium, you know, after that, the first few drives when you saw Will Levis find DeAndre Hopkins for a couple of touchdowns. Ended up being three and four on the day. People were very excited about number eight and thinking, oh, here we go, we got our franchise guy. It's one game, but how impressed were you with the poise that he had and how he ran the offense?
Well, I was impressed with Will Levis, just like I was impressed with Marcus Mariota in his debut when he threw four touchdown passes. And that just shows you, you can't, nothing's guaranteed based on one game, as you pointed out, Chase. And it was throwing deep passes. There's nothing like throwing deep passes for touchdowns. Hopkins has never averaged 32 yards a catch in a game in his career. And you know he had to be the happiest. All people always thought they – well, not always. As soon as I knew Levis was starting, I knew there's no way they're trading Hopkins or Henry. You don't take away weapons when you're trying to look at a rookie quarterback and see if that rookie quarterback can be your quarterback of the future. And so I knew then that they weren't going anywhere, and Hop, he rewarded them. You know, he looked like he was a rookie again, getting behind coverage and outrunning defensive backs. So I was so happy for him. And I got to tell you, while everybody in Houston doesn't like seeing those uniforms, I do. I take a beating here from my radio station, sportsradio610.com, the Texans flagship, and I don't care. I like seeing those jerseys. I like a bunch of the players were there, sent me pictures of their celebration, in which Amy Adams Strunk always treats them like royalty. And watching Levis reminded me of Warren Moon when he used to throw a lot of long touchdown passes in the run and shoot. So I know it puts the Titans right back into the wild card picture. Looks like Jaguars going to run away with the division. Now they got that tough three-game schedule coming up. Pittsburgh just coming off a home loss to the Jaguars. There's nothing special about Tampa Bay. They're the underdog playing the Texans. And then at Jacksonville, that'll be a big game. But then they get five of the last seven at home. So if they could come out of that with two and one from that three-game road stretch, that would be pretty impressive and set them up to make a stretch drive in which the wild card race is wide open at this point.
You know, John, you've covered this series with the Steelers, Titans, Oilers going back throughout history, and some monumental games, the Mike Renfro catch, I mean, the game there, and things like that have gone on. When you go up there on a Thursday night, if you're Mike Tomlin and you're seeing what Will Levis got, what approach do you have against a rookie quarterback on a short week? What approach would you take?
Well, you know that Mike Tomlin is a great coach. He's got, with T.J. Watt and Highsmith, they'll do everything to get their pressure off the edges like they always do. I think Hayward's, is he supposed to come back? He's been out for a long time. And one of the things I liked about Levis, you know, he's only sacked twice, but he took his drop and he got rid of the ball. He didn't have to look around the field. I'll guarantee you that they're going to double-team DeAndre Hopkins. They're going to hit him on the line of scrimmage to try to disrupt him so he can't get in his route fast like he did in this game against the Falcons, because if he gets going and Levis drops back and he throws it, I haven't seen Hopkins catch deep passes like that, two in one game of 61 and 47 yards in like forever. And so they've got to slow down Hop and make somebody else beat them, whether it's Derrick Henry or not. And when you have, when you take away the deep ball, as you guys know, and you make them run, run, and run, it's going to be a close game, and barring a lot of turnovers. And what the Titans did was so impressive. You know, they only gave up one touchdown on defense till that last drive. And so it's the right time to be coming to Pittsburgh in a short week. It's a lot easier to coach a short week when you're coming off a victory, especially one that was as exciting as that one was.
John, were you able to watch any of the game? I know you're busy on Sundays. Were you able to watch any of the Titans game?
I don't watch it. I go back and watch. I watch it on tape, but I don't watch it. I don't watch anything live but the Texans.
Do you get updates? Do you get game updates?
Oh, yeah. I'm constantly looking at it, and then I watch it after, I watch it late at night.
Your reaction, though, when you're reading, like, the Titans are up and they're up early and all that, you had me thinking, all right, I want to watch this.
Will Levis did what? Okay, one. Okay, he throws one to Hopkins. All right, that's fine. And then you look up and you see another one. And during the Texans game, they were constantly coming on with highlights of the Titans. And I'm like, whoa, what is this? You know, I had Levis going in the top 10 in the draft, and I got all kind of grief about it. And I had my chest stuck out after that game because he looked great, you know, the way he celebrated with his family afterward, that endears him to everyone. So, and plus the fact, you know, Levis is mobile, he's tough. I remember at the combine, he said, I got a cannon for an arm and I want to show it off. And he did, but I thought there was a time that the Texans might draft him. And so I watched a lot of tape on him at Kentucky. And, you know, he lost his coaches, his receivers the last year. He was playing hurt. But the one thing I noticed was what a good physical runner he is and how tough he was. And that's a good combination when you got that kind of arm plus the mobility and the strength to break tackles.
We're talking to John McClain, Sports Radio 610 in Houston. Joins us every Wednesday. One of the cool moments, I don't know if you saw this, so at the start of the fourth quarter, they've been bringing out a legend of the game to hype up the crowd, to get on the microphone and kind of get everybody going. And with it being Oilers weekend, they brought out Billy White Shoes Johnson. Came out, had the white shoes on, he did the funky chicken, got everybody going. And a few plays later after that, Nick Westbrook-Ikhine scores the fourth touchdown of the day for the Titans while wearing white shoes, and he did the funky chicken. He talked about that Billy actually showed him how to do it, and that's why he did the touchdown dance. I thought that was pretty cool.
Let me ask you, the funky chicken, you have to do the splits at the end. And I saw Billy 2 weeks ago. I said, can you do the splits anymore? And he goes, hell no, I can't do the splits. did Ikhine do the splits at the end of it?
No, he
probably would have ripped his hamstring, because the funky chicken, when he would do it, he would do his legs like that, and then when it ended, he would drop the ball over his shoulder and do the splits. And back then, of course, Billy could do the splits. When the Falcons went to the Super Bowl and they got beat, Billy was there. He worked for the Falcons. He was wearing white shoes. And at media day on the field, I asked him then, I said, can you do the splits? He said, watch this. He said, I just hope I don't rip my pants. And he did the splits.
That is fantastic. And, I mean, I guess that was one of the first touchdown dances in the league, right? That kind of started it.
It started by Elmo Wright of the Chiefs from University of Houston. Yeah. Elmo, who I see a lot here, too. He scored a touchdown one time for the Chiefs, and he was so excited, he just started running in place. And then and he would do it really fast, and then every time he scored, he would run in place. That started it, and then others started looking for ways to accentuate that. And Billy was the first, maybe the only one to ever do the splits.
Wow, it was when he would score a punt return for a touchdown at the Astrodome and do that, John, did the stadium just go crazy?
Oh, of course they did. Fans loved Billy. He was a 15th round draft choice from a college, Widener, that nobody had ever heard of, up in the middle of Pennsylvania, I believe. And he comes in, he's undersized. Back then, receivers were bigger, cornerbacks were bigger, because speed wasn't as important. And he started out as a return specialist, and he's one of the best in history. And if we ever start putting returners in the Super Bowl, I'm going to be pushing Billy like crazy. And one of the greatest Billy White Shoes Johnson stories, the Oilers played terrible weather in Cleveland. It was awful. It was snow. It was ice. That field was terrible. To begin with, they threw cat litter on the brown spot so it looked green on TV. Players after the game would have cat litter all over their lockers, all over their jerseys. So Billy is the only – he had a great game. And first of all, they asked Bob Phillips, how come you didn't go to a walkthrough on Saturday? You get used to the bad weather. And Bob goes, you can't practice being miserable. And so the next day, Billy was great. And afterward, they asked Bob, how's Billy White Shoes have a great game like that? Nobody else does. And he said, pantyhose. He wore pantyhose. So we had to go to Billy and ask him about the pantyhose because that kept his legs warm. And so after that, you get all these players trying to get in pantyhose when the weather's bad. Earl Campbell's thighs were too big, and every time he tried to stretch them, they just ripped. So you never saw Earl in pantyhose.
He is John McClain, Sports Radio 610 in Houston. We'll have more with him. We'll get his thoughts on the move that happened last night in Las Vegas. Josh McDaniels out as the head coach of the Raiders. We'll do that coming up next here on Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Live today from Duncan in Old Hickory. Again, got some Boston. Well done, Dr. Crane, well done. Continuing our conversation with John McClain, Sports Radio 610 in Houston. And, John, I was anchoring our Nashville Predators coverage last night. They're in Vancouver taking on the Canucks, so I got off the air just after midnight. And as I'm signing off, my phone starts blowing up, and ESPN breaking news that the Raiders are cleaning house. Josh McDaniels out as the head coach. They also fired the general manager, David Ziegler, as well. Antonio Pierce going to be the interim head coach for the Raiders. I don't think this is a surprise to anybody. Josh McDaniels has been a terrible head coach in the National Football League, but what's next for the Raiders?
I don't know why he was hired to begin with after as badly as he botched it, but Tom Brady made McDaniels. You know, he's never going to be a head coach again unless some owner's dumb enough to give him another opportunity. And I don't think that's going to happen. And it's interesting, I was still up on the computer and I'm like, well, what is Mark Davis smoking to do this so late at night? And then I realized they're 2 hours behind us. But still, you generally don't make moves at 10. Owners who do things in the middle of the night or late at night, like Jim Irsay, it makes me wonder what kind of frame of mind they're in. And I think this, they look terrible on Monday night, worse than the score indicated. Jimmy Garoppolo was awful. They hadn't scored 20 points a game, I don't think. And last time they had this problem, John Gruden got fired with a 3-2 record. They elevated special teams coach Rich Bisaccia, went 7-5 and made the playoffs. And then everybody wanted him to keep the job, but Mark Davis, being in Vegas, wanted to make a splash, so he hires McDaniels and Ziegler. Everybody raised their eyebrows. What is he seeing in Josh McDaniels? So it's a great job because – it's in Las Vegas. You know, you're going to get free agents, but boy, and coaches will line up to get it because there's only 32. But Davis is just such a strange guy, of course, starting with his haircut, which he knows is the worst haircut in the history of mankind. In fact, there was a movie called Tropic Thunder with Robert Downey Jr., Nick Nolte, Ben Stiller. And in the movie, a character Ben Stiller had was called Simple Jack, in which Simple Jack was supposed to have mental issues, his character. And so they're captured by the Vietnamese, who are still think the war's going on, but they know from video all about Simple Jack. And so Ben Stiller goes out and performs an act of Simple Jack. And every time I see Simple Jack, every time I see Mark Davis, I think about Simple Jack because it's the same haircut. If you ever see that movie, pay attention. And Mark Davis takes a lot of pride in people making fun of his haircut. So it's a good job. I'm guessing this time he'll go with a guy who has not been a fired head coach. Maybe he will, but I think that he'll go in that direction. There are going to be a lot of openings, just like there are every year. And the top coordinators, like Ben Johnson at Detroit, those are going to be at the head of the top of the list.
John, how well did you know Al Davis, and how much is Mark Davis like Al Davis?
He's nothing like him. I knew Al well enough to. I used to talk to him at league meetings or before games because he knew I liked the American Football League. I grew up watching it as a kid, and he coached in it under Sid Gilman with the Chargers. The Oilers beat the Chargers in the first two American Football League championships. And so we used to talk about the good old days of the AFL, but he is totally different. You know, he ran everything. He would get out and coach players on a technique for the offensive or defensive line, and he used to drive the assistant coaches crazy because they may have just told him a different type of technique. But he was Al, Big Al, and everything he said went, where Mark is a bystander. He wasn't even in the organization forever. He only came in before Al Davis died, and then, of course, he inherited it.
Wow, that's I knew that you would know all that because of your longstanding job with the National Football League. John Rook, to me, the surprise secret team in the NFL right now, the Seattle Seahawks. Nobody's talking about them. They're playing good football. Your thoughts on what Pete Carroll's doing there?
Pete Carroll and John Schneider, the GM, they've got as good a relationship as anybody could have. And I got to tell you guys why I like this. Because my wife and I were in Las Vegas during the first two rounds of the NCAA tournament. And she grew up loving the Washington Redskins. So every year she bets on Commanders to go to the Super Bowl. And I said, let's pick a team that's got some long odds that is just good enough to be a surprise. I look up, the Seahawks are 66-1. Why don't you put 100 on it? Now I wish she'd have put 1,000.
Talking with John McClain. So, all right, the team that nobody's talking about may be Seattle, but a team that I think has awoken that is a sleeping giant, the Cincinnati Bengals, ever since they came here and got their ass whipped by the Titans. I feel like that Joe Burrow is back, and that team is something to watch out for.
Titans got him at the right time. You know, everybody knows Burrow was hurt early with that calf muscle. He couldn't retreat. He couldn't slide. And he had problems stepping into it. But, man, going out and adding to the 49ers' misery was pretty impressive. And he was outstanding in that 31-17 victory. And so I'm not so sure right now, after watching Kansas City get beat at Denver, that the Bengals are not the best team in the AFC, along with Philadelphia in the NFC. The neatest thing I saw over the weekend was when the Broncos at home broke that long losing streak to the Chiefs. As soon as it ended, they played Taylor Swift, Shake It Off.
Oh, that was fantastic. That was like the best troll job that I have seen in a long time when they did that the other night. And so Cincinnati will play Buffalo Sunday night. You mentioned Kansas City. They got to play Miami, which Miami, I think, is one of the hottest teams. We've talked about them every week. Could this be one of the most watched European games that we've seen with a 8:30 Central Time kick on Sunday morning?
Well, it's in Germany, too. And football's even bigger in Germany, our football, than it is in London. And that goes back to the old days of NFL Europe. When Oliver Luck, Andrew's dad, former Oilers quarterback, he was the general manager of the Frankfurt Galaxy, and they sold out every game, which helped him become president of the league. But that game, Dolphins and Chiefs, they've never had an international game with two teams with such good records as they have. And that, to me, is one of the great games coming up. And you got other games this week. Seahawks against the Ravens. Both those teams are red hot. You guys mentioned the game with the Bills and the Bengals. That's going to be huge. And so it's going to be another great weekend.
John, give me your take on the New York Jets. They have a certain je ne sais quoi.
Nice.
I cannot put my finger on why this team is exciting, and there's something there. What are your thoughts about the Jets?
I don't know if I would call it exciting, considering Zach Wilson is the quarterback. But right now, Jets are 4-3, We all thought they were going to be one of the worst teams when they lost Aaron Rodgers. Now Aaron Rodgers is making this miraculous comeback. They're talking about he could come back in the middle of December. I'm happy for Robert Saleh. He worked for the Texans for 6 years, and everybody was down on him when its season started. They've got a really good defense, a really good running game. They're not making a lot of mistakes. They're hosting the Chargers. It's a primetime game. I'm guessing there's a good chance they may beat the Chargers. Right now, based on the Vegas odds, the leading candidate for Coach of the Year, Dan Campbell 1, Mike McDaniel 2, and Robert Saleh passed up D'Amico Ryans for number 3.
Interesting. The Lions, Monday Night Football, it was great. As a fan of football, not particularly a team, John, it was great to see that environment and see that franchise. Well, we've talked about this, hasn't won a playoff game since 50 years or whatever it's been?
Well, they've won one since the 1950s.
That's crazy. Your thoughts on that game and seeing just that fan base kind of electric for the game Monday night?
Joe, I think it's great for the NFL when one of your storied franchises has been bad, gets good again. Like if the Browns ever get consistently good, it would be great for the league. It's great for the Lions. Can't wait for Thanksgiving. In the past, it was always, well, can't wait to get Detroit out of the way so the Cowboys come up at 3. And I think this is a great story. People like Dan Campbell. They like the way he coaches. He's going to lose both his coordinators to head coaching jobs. And plus, I love the colors, and I love the way the fans get into it. And I hope they continue to play well. And, boy, if they got in the Super Bowl, that would be even better.
John, great stuff as always. We love having you on, and we will do it again next week.
Jason, Joe, thank you guys very much as always, and good luck to the Titans.
Absolutely. John McClain, Sports Radio 610 down in Houston, joins us every Wednesday at 9:30. We'll have MTSU head football coach Rick Stockstill at the bottom of the next hour. But coming up next, I want to know what the College Football Playoff Committee is smoking, because maybe I want to try it. I don't know. The rankings came out last night. I don't know what they're doing. We'll discuss that next. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.